Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to the Talking Heads podcast. In this show, we take great snips from other shows, shine a bit of light, add a bit of context, and always add some humor. We are not affiliated with any of the shows mentioned in the podcast. However, if you are interested in the shows discussed, you can easily find them by going to the link in the podcast. And now, to the show.
And the real world is not an idea. It is not words. Reality is...
Welcome to another episode of Talking Heads. This week, we are discussing episode 170 of Two Bears, One Cave, a conversation with Bert Kreischer and Tony Hawk. For some reason, Tom Segura was not in this podcast. I don't know why, but I kind of wish he was.
Mm. They kind of take turns.
Do they?
Yeah.
I figure because they're both comedians, so they're probably like on tour and got a bunch of stuff going on.
They get busy.
Yeah.
And what's nice about it is this happened quite a bit over COVID. They'd separate, and they were really good at filling in with the interviews. And I think now it's just the staple, which has really added a lot to the show.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's really good. I think Tom even had an ex-football player, professional football player. Oh, no, a football player bought his old house.
Oh, really?
And he got to meet him and then had him on the podcast.
That's cool.
Like a whole story and background to it.
That's great. A bit of a flex.
Yeah, he's got a big house. Tony Hawk, though, what a legend.
What an absolute legend.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been famous as long as I can remember.
Yeah. I feel like if you're... about his age, I think he's like 50 something, like mid 50s. Everyone I feel like aspires to be him. Like, he's just an absolute legend, and to still be doing all the stuff that he's doing at his age is insane.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't even a skateboarder growing up at any point.
Really?
No, but I liked movies that had cool skateboarding in, you know, or just anytime you watch cool tricks. I mean, it was just a cool thing. And then when his video games came out, they were the best games.
Yeah, those were like some of the biggest games at the time.
Mm.
Like, I don't know what, I think it was like early 2000s.
I think so,
around that era, yeah. And I mean, video games weren't that advanced back then, but the Tony Hawk skateboarding video game is still fun today.
I'm pretty sure it had like... I mean, it had good soundtrack, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah, of course it does.
Decent bands were on that, like punk bands, and I mean, it's just the hell of a lot of
fun. Of course it was. It was probably made by a bunch of stoners, honestly.
No doubt. I spent way too much of my life playing that game.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to collect those videotapes. Brilliant.
Yeah, that's a fun game. That's a good one. So you've never skateboarded before, though?
No, I mean, I've stood on one once.
But you're probably not a skater.
No. I've never done anything really on a skateboard.
But you said you snowboard or do you ski?
I've been 5 times.
So snowboarding?
I do not count myself as a snowboarder either.
But you've done it. You've snowboarded more than you've skated.
100%, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's such a shame.
But no surfing. I've done no water sports, no water skiing. Yeah.
Is that because you grew up in the UK?
Yeah.
Are they just lame over there?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there's not really like a big... water skiing.
Go out and play cricket or whatever.
We're playing cricket, bro. Playing cricket.
Or polo.
There was a lot of skateboarding. My brothers skateboarded. And then for a while, they were into rollerblades.
Oh, yeah.
My older brother was, he did the old style, the roller skates. And he was like a roller skate hockey player, but like a good one.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. He was in like a soda commercial when we grew up playing.
That's pretty cool.
He scores the goal at the end.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, they were way more into that. I was too nerdy. I didn't do it.
Really?
I was always reading books and
trying
to play chess with my grandfather.
Interesting.
Yeah, my brothers are probably cooler than me. So anyway.
I actually did skateboard a bit growing up. I feel like most people who get into skateboarding get into it at a really young age. It's like people who ski out here, you see some like 7-year-old who's just absolutely cracked and you're like, bro, what the heck? But I got into it in high school. I got a penny board, which was my first one, which is like the really short one. It's like 22 inches long or whatever. And I have pretty big feet, so it was pretty hard for me to learn on. But I fell in love with it. It was so much fun. And then I got a couple of longboards. And then I had, I don't know if my mom listens to this, but I'm going to tell you a quick story. So
nice.
When I used to live in Florida before I moved up here, my mom, I left a skateboard with her because you can't really skateboard that much in Montana. And I didn't feel like bringing it. And she moved and I left it in her garage. It was it was like a Sector 9 with like double kick pin trucks. And it was like super fun. And I had it for like not even a year. And I left it in her garage thinking she would hold on to it. And she got rid of it somehow. I was like, where'd my skateboard go? And she's like, I threw it away.
She's upset
that I'm still mad about it. But I mean, it was the most fun skateboard I ever had. And yeah, I don't skate as much anymore. I still, every time I fly, I bring the penny board with me. Because this is perfect. You can just zip through the airport on a skateboard. It's so much fun. And it works perfectly because the penny board fits in the overhead bin like completely fine.
They don't give you a hard time for skateboarding through an airport?
No one gives me a hard time. I mean, sometimes you'll get some weird looks from like the TSA people, but by the time they see you, like I'm already pretty much gone. So
that's a good point. I do see people skipping through airports with a few different bits of technology, and no one seems to be bothered.
No,
seems
it's
like a
fine.
Great way to
and
skip.
I'm pretty safe about it. I mean, I kind of haul ass. Like if I have a layover, I'll just skateboard through the airport the whole time.
That's brilliant.
Which is so fun. But no, one time I got stopped by a security guard who was on like, have you seen those 3-wheeled motorized things in like the malls or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
They usually have them in airports, but they have them in malls sometimes. They're like 3 wheels and they're like motorized. They look dumb as hell. But dude stopped me on one of those and he's like, you got to get off of that. And I was like, I feel like that's a little unfair, honestly, man.
Yeah, you're on this thing.
Yeah.
What's more dangerous?
But it's fine. No, most people don't give a shit. You get some weird looks though.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to do it. I recommend.
Never been late for a flight before.
Now I see why you picked this episode.
Yeah. No, I did pick this episode because obviously Bert and Tom are hilarious people. If you know anything about comedy, you probably know who they are. And then obviously Tony Hawk is just a legend, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's so cool. And I love that he's still relevant nowadays. Like he's just a cool dude. He's honestly so cool. And it's so funny, like hearing him in podcasts. It seems like he knows so many people, like other celebrities and stuff.
Well, he's been, I mean, he was in, when I think he was like a young, like 15 or something, maybe close to 20. He was in one of the Police Academy movies.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like,
I think that was his first movie.
Mid 80s.
Yeah.
Like, you know, early 80s. Like, that's a long time ago. So he's just been around and been well known. I mean,
yeah, he's been famous for a long time.
And he's one of those standout people. So, like, growing up in England, I didn't play a lot of basketball either, but it was the 90s. So everyone knew who Michael Jordan was.
Yeah.
And I was disconnected enough from, you know, sports that at least weren't in my country and maybe skateboarding to be like, I couldn't tell you one other basketball player when I was 14.
Yeah.
I just didn't know. But, of course, you knew Jordan. I couldn't tell you another skateboarder, but, of course, Tony Hawk. It's like he's that guy.
Yeah, he is definitely one of those people who, like, whenever you think of him, you immediately think of what he's known for, and he is probably the most well-known skateboarder in the world.
He's got to be.
He's definitely.
So what his big claim to fame was, I mean, lots of things, obviously, but that 900 he did. Was a big deal, right?
Yeah, that was because it was one of the
I'm a little vague on the history of this, but I believe that he was one of the first people to ever pull that off. Like,
I think he was the first.
Yeah, he was the first person to ever pull that off.
It's kind of wild that it's someone who's like 6'5".
Is he really that tall?
He's taller than me, I think. Yeah,
really?
He's
wow.
real tall. We should look that up. But yeah, it seems like those sorts of moves should be easier if you're a small person.
Oh, yeah.
Is that just me thinking?
Probably. Or? I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on how athletic you are. If you're a big dude, but you're pretty athletic, then it's probably not that hard. But also, like gymnasts.
Oh, he's 6'3".
Usually gymnasts are not tall at all. They're usually really short.
Yeah,
people
and they're spinning
a lot. It's easy to move around a mm-hmm. lot more when you're smaller. Yeah.
Anyway, he managed it.
He's how tall?
6'3".
Oh, okay.
So yeah. So
same height as me.
There we go. How many times can you spin around on a...
None. I can't do any tricks at all. I just know how to like cruise around.
Well, Bert did talk about his kickflip.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
He also talked about all of the times that he ate shit on a skateboard or whatever it was. Like he got his foot run over by a car because he was trying to rollerblade next to it.
Oh, he did a promo for his tour.
Yeah.
He put it on Instagram, and you
I
can
saw
hear
that
the
video,
crunch.
Yeah,
and he continued it. He didn't say stop or scream, or he just turned around and like hopped off to the. I mean, it was a terrible idea from the start. You could
yeah.
see, absolute lunatic. I mean, even for him, I absolutely don't recommend it.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, I don't remember. Did they talk about Tony Hawk's... like net worth? I mean, I know they kind
no.
of implied
so
they wouldn't have talked about it directly.
Good, yeah.
But is he like in the 50 plus to like 100 million range? How rich is this guy?
I don't know at this point how much he was, but I saw a clip one time. I think it was on a different podcast. I can't remember which one, but they were like, what's the most amount of money that you ever saw at one time? And he was saying that from his video game back in like the early 2000s when it was really taken off, he was like, I saw a single check for like $7 million.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, he's done really well for himself. And, I mean, you have to think when he was he's talked about this in previous shows, but, like, when he was, like, 16 or so, when he just got sponsored and stuff, he was making so much money, at least for a 16-year-old at that time. Because, like, when you're that young, like, $1,000 is, like, you're like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
All the candy I can buy.
Exactly, yeah. So, but, yeah, he's talked about that for a little while, and I mean, in the sport, he has a huge market for him.
Yeah, tons. And,
like, not only that, but like anything trademarked with Tony Hawk, that's going to him.
The fact
know?
That they even give you a check for something that big just seems
yeah. What are you going to do?
Nuts.
Take that to the bank?
Uh-huh. Like, you got to sign the back of it.
Yeah, you go cash it in, and they're like, "Sir, we need to like close the bank down."
I just need all of this for cash right now. Oh, lucky man. But, I mean, just that level of skill, but also getting behind those games like that. I mm-hmm. mean, it's just like John Madden. I mean, they're just certain people that just kind of the right place, the right time.
Yeah.
And how much of the game did he make? Like nothing,
probably
right?
Not.
No, they just had a great team and a brilliant idea.
Mm. Exactly, yeah. Have you, okay, so a little bit of a segue, from skateboarding, I guess, to skiing. Have you seen so they're doing the Winter Olympics in Dubai or somewhere in the Middle East, and they're building a $80 million ski resort in the middle of the desert. Have you seen this?
$80
billion dollars with a B.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have to be that expensive.
Of course it would, yeah.
How is this even going to... Do they have mountains, at least?
No, it's literally not even a mountain. It's just like this massive...
structure.
Yeah, it's this massive structure that has like basically what looks like highway ramps that are like made with snow of some sort, some fake snow or whatever. But like that's how they get like the steep slopes and everything. And it looks like it literally looks like on the back of a cruise ship, the big ones that have like the water slides and stuff that like hang off the side of them. Mm-hmm. Like it literally looks like that. It's just a massive structure.
That is unbelievable.
But it's the dumbest thing ever. Let's put a massive ski resort in
the
desert.
Listen, it sounds dumb, but when you apply $80 billion to the best engineers and like, minds that this planet has, I'm sure they're going to pull off something incredible.
It'll be nuts, yeah. It'll be crazy. I mean, yeah, if anyone could pull that off right now, it's definitely the Middle East there.
Well, they got to do a better. I mean, wasn't it in Russia recently? China?
Or I think it was. Yeah, it was in China last.
And they were like running out of snow everywhere.
Yeah. No, they. Yeah, for the first time ever, they've had to. Usually they decide where the Olympics are going to be years in advance, but they've had to delay that for the Winter Olympics because they don't know if certain areas can produce enough snow that they need for competitions and stuff, which is pretty wild.
Well, talking about that, isn't it kind of a shame that things like skateboarding never made it into the Olympics?
Yeah, I guess it took a lot longer for them, though. I'm glad that we have it now. That's awesome. I think it's super fun. Same thing with, like, rock climbing. Like, rock climbing has been around forever.
Yeah.
For hundreds of years.
And it's so technically difficult.
Yeah, but they've just... there's some sports that... Skateboarding makes a little bit more sense, but stuff like rock climbing or, I don't know, whatever other... like, surfing they added recently as well. Like, those are hard to have. Like, you have to have, basically... you have to pick the place that you're going to put the Olympics somewhere really cleverly because you're going to need access to all these different sports and everything.
But can't, for rock climbing, though, they can just build an inside rock climbing wall.
Yeah, a lot of it, like if you do speed climbing, that's all inside rock wall and stuff. And I think everything in the Olympics is like indoor somewhat.
And then they have those surfing machines now.
They do,
kinda.
Yeah.
I don't know how that affects
it. I don't know how they do that. That's probably how they'll do it,
big though, wave machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, they just added breakdancing.
Really?
Yeah.
To the Olympics?
Yep.
Wow, that's kind of cool.
Breakdancing is going to be an Olympic sport, I believe.
Yeah.
That's wild. But that is also, cool. I mean, why is that different than tumbling? The gymnastics, yeah. I mean, it's music and you're flipping around.
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. No, I think it took a while. I mean, skateboarding kind of took a while to take off. I mean, it was really popular in the 90s, and that was kind of when it started, a little bit before that, in the 70s and the 80s. But in the 90s, it really took off. And then in the early 2000s,
it was all the X Games.
It was everywhere. Yeah,
stuff.
The X
That's
Games
when these
really
guys
helped
got
it.
Really big.
That's when it really took off.
Yeah,
when it was like an actual sanctioned event that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so cool. I loved in the episode, they talked, Tony said, he was like, yeah, skateboarding is so cool because it's exactly like an art. There's like so many different ways to express it, so many different styles, all of that stuff, which I think is really cool. And I definitely think that is true because there are so many different things you can do with a skateboard.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, but think about it. They have that those longboards, I guess, they use for that downhill.
Yeah.
That's insane how fast
It's pretty wild.
I mean, I wonder if, take snowboarding, for example. There's a bunch of different competitions they have for that. They've got, like, the half pipe and then just these other type trick situations, races, the rest of it. But I think there's probably more options even with skateboarding.
Yeah, there is. And it's also so cool because I'm sure you've seen a bunch of, like, ski and snowboard movies. You know, it's like they have so many skateboarding movies and there's so many different types you can do. Like you can, I mean, just think about like if you're living in LA in the early 2000s, LA is basically a skateboarding paradise. Mm-hmm. Any of those like West Coast towns, like the amount of different types of terrain and different types of stuff you can do, like anything from like a 10 stair to like crazy ledges, all kind. Like there's just, it's a playground for that kind of stuff. And it's so cool to see how passionate people get about skateboarding and stuff. It's just, it's cool. It's probably one of my favorite communities that I've like, I wouldn't say I'm a part of, but like I've at least gotten to know a little
that
bit.
That you're a fan of.
Yeah, that I'm a fan of.
Yeah. Like, have you ever been to the skate park in Venice on the beach?
No, I haven't.
Legendary.
Yeah.
It was right by my house. I could walk down there in like 5 minutes. And it was always so cool to go down there.
Yeah.
I mean, the level of skill in there. People would like jump off the palm trees.
Yeah. People are crazy, dude.
Nuts.
They go insane.
Yeah. And there were always so many people down there watching. I mean, it was a big part of what makes that area just really special to go to.
Yeah.
You know, that and the working out on the beach.
Yeah.
In which Muscle Beach stuff.
Venice Beach is pretty cool.
It's a wild
Venice
place
Beach
for
is
sure.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
I was surprised to hear about Tony kind of growing up in this world and how he kind of stayed away from a drinking problem and a drug problem and that kind of party scene that you could imagine went along. Because it's, you know, when people think about skateboarding, especially in the early days, it's like a lot of rebellion.
Yeah.
You know, you're getting in trouble for doing it most of the time. You know, you're breaking into houses that have a pool with no water in, and you're just using that because so you can have a, you know, somewhere to go.
That looks so fun, though.
It looks wild, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, but they're just going wherever they can.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of rebellion. It's almost like graffiti goes with it somehow.
Somewhat, yeah, like that kind of like stoner stereotype follows that along.
And I don't partying, know. Partying, drinking, whatever, but he managed to stay away from it. And he referenced his dad, who actually said grew up in Billings, Montana, which is kind of cool, and was always super supportive, but just there for him, believed in it, even when other friends of his that were good skateboarders, their dad's parents didn't care for it. So it was Tony's dad that took everybody to the, you know, to the competitions and whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was cool. I loved hearing about that because that's such a – that's so cool. I think there's a lot of great examples of really successful people in whatever field, and a lot of them attribute it to either their mother or their father in some way. And I think if you have, like – the right kind of parenting, you can nurture a kid to do whatever he wants.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a bummer when you're into something and passionate about it and your parents hate it.
Yeah.
It's like, even if there are elements that surround it that could be problematic, it's, you know, my parents were always supportive of what we did, or they, at least they never stopped us doing anything that we liked. And one of my brothers used to like to draw. He didn't like school. You know, he didn't do a lot there. He just drew all the time. And if anything, I was probably the hardest on him. I was like, bro, you need to get educated and so you can get a job one day. Like, this is going to be a problem. Yeah. And now he's quite a famous tattoo artist in England.
Yeah.
So it worked out. I mean, obviously, I didn't see that vision. But my parents were never like, oh, you need to focus on these other. It was like, if you like it and you're into it, do it.
I think that's the right mentality. And I think a lot of the problem, or I guess a big reason for the disconnect between the kids and the parents, what happens is it's the same thing with like skiing, whatever. You do it a lot as a kid. You become obsessed with it. And the wrong kind of parent will see that you're obsessed with it and be like, oh, skiing, it's like skateboarding, come on. Kevin, come on. There's no future in that, dude. You know, like,
yeah, this whole there's no
you need
future
to figure something out. And as a kid to hear that is like it's so sad. It's demolishing. But the right kind of parent will come along and be like, you seem to really like this a lot. You seem like you're very passionate about it. You do it all the time. Do this. Do that full time.
I think it
that.
Makes more sense because really what you're nurturing there is their passion.
Their passion. Yeah.
As
exactly.
soon as you throw water on their fire of passion,
then they get confused about what they want
to
do.
How are they supposed to have it for the next thing that maybe you're more into as a parent?
Yeah.
Right? It's like encourage this. This doesn't have to be everything that they ever do, but they get encouraged, they learn to build it, they work with that momentum, and then they can take that onto all different types of projects throughout their whole life.
Exactly.
I mean, I like it. Yeah.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a not knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's really interesting. I think going back to what you said about like skateboarding and these kinds of things being like rebellion acts, I think a lot of it is because of their parents are like, no, don't do that. You're going to injure yourself. There's no future in it, whatever it is. And the kids are like, you know, as a kid, you're especially a teenager, you know, like, fuck you, mom and dad. I'm going to do what I want. And so they end up skateboarding their whole time. And but I think a lot of it is that kind of rebellious, you know, and that goes along with like the whole like stoner stereotype and everything. But I think it's interesting. Like you mentioned Michael Jordan earlier, which is another great example of an athlete who has completely excelled in their career and done it by, I think in a large part, by avoiding the kind of like drugs, partying, whatever, that kind of scene. Because, I mean, I don't know if you've ever watched the, what was the name of the documentary they did?
The Last Dance.
The Last Dance, yeah. Brilliant. I mean, amazing documentary. So but good. Yeah, he talks about like, yeah, he would go to games and in the hotel room, there'd be like different people in different rooms doing their own thing. And he wouldn't partake in it in any way. And I think that that's really noble and really cool to see, because you can imagine, especially when you're young, I mean, the temptation is huge, you know.
And being that famous.
Yeah, it's so easy.
That's the tricky bit that's hard to understand, because you get people like Dennis Rodman that was the complete opposite. Loved the party, and in some weird way it kind of added to who he was and made him good. But like, this is why Jordan and Rodman had so much conflict. Even though they respected each other on the court, it was like they had totally different philosophies of how to do it. But ultimately, to be the outlier that is going to be the best at anything, you have to stack your deck, which means, you know, work the hardest.
Yeah.
And be the most disciplined and probably cut out a lot of that pleasure-seeking stuff. But, you know, what is that thing? Like, how do you get that grounded? I mean, I know Jordan was very close to his dad. Mm-hmm. Always had a lot of support. I mean, I'm sure so much of it does come back from, like, from family.
From parenting, yeah.
You know? And you could almost see that to some degree. Your kid's, like, full-on wanting to be the best basketball player in the world and play the NBA. The odds of those things happening are very low.
Yeah.
So you could imagine some parents being like, well, you know, that's a nice dream, but you're going to need to think about something else.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's just, like, if you're as a parent, if you notice your kid, like, because when you're young, you go from being interested in so many things so quickly. Like, you go through phases. Like, I don't know if every kid, but I certainly went through, like, a Harry Potter phase for a year or whatever. And it was like, I was obsessed with Harry Potter, or it's Bob the Builder, or whatever it is, these different things that I get introduced to as a kid, I just become obsessed with. And, but I feel like the difference is, if it's the same thing, if Johnny has always been interested in playing football from a young age and he's still interested in it at an older age, like around high school or whatever age it is, and you're like, okay, you actually want to do this, like, and they have the talent in there, I think you're doing your kid an absolute disservice by not encouraging them to do that and follow their dream in some way.
Yeah.
Like, you should always be realistic about the odds of it. But don't discourage them from that. That's terrible.
When I was like probably between 2 and 4, I was absolutely obsessed with dinosaurs. Everything had to be about dinosaurs.
And I'm still obsessed with dinosaurs.
They're pretty great.
They're pretty awesome.
We'll do a dinosaur episode.
Yeah.
Bring Jurassic Park back. Make it real. But yeah, it was like that was everything that I was into. Probably 8 or 9. Maybe my parents could start leaning in and be like, there's some other stuff that you might want to. But if I'm starting to go down a scientific route and going to school and like wanting to go in that direction, you can encourage that. Mm-hmm. Like, allow it to happen. Of course, I just moved on to other things that were just interesting to me.
Yeah.
But it's like that. If it's, I guess, totally not age appropriate, but even then you got to be careful with that, because there are kids today that make a lot of money with video games, playing them. Maybe even just you don't even have to be that good at playing them. You can just talk about them on
or do tutorials YouTube. Or whatever it is. Yeah, I can't tell you how many kids you meet nowadays who you ask them what they want to do and they're like, I want to be a Twitch streamer or I want to be a YouTuber or something like that. And it's hard to do. It's definitely hard to do. And there's a lot of people, especially nowadays, like older people who are like, they obviously don't even understand what they're talking about. Like, they're like, what is a Twitch stream? Like, they have no idea what it means. And so they're like, it's something that they don't understand. They don't know the potential of it or whatever. And so I can understand that one. Like, I don't think it makes you a bad parent if you just don't understand what it is. And you're like, I don't know about that one. But, you know, I think you should do your due diligence. And I just think don't discourage kids from doing anything. Give them the opportunity to learn. Give them the opportunity to be passionate about something. And if it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, they'll figure it out. I mean,
yeah, I just say give them the chance to maybe find one of those type of unusual jobs.
Yeah.
Like you got to say, even Bert Kreischer, it's an unusual job to be a stand-up comedian.
It is.
And a podcaster that gets paid. It's unusual. Yeah. And the people that do it love it. They wouldn't do anything else, and anyone that knows them would love to have their job.
Yeah.
You can't say that the other way around. I'm sure when Bert goes to see his doctor, and a lot of people growing up were like, oh, I wish I could be a doctor, all that money. Bert wouldn't switch that position for a second.
No, he hates his doctor. He doesn't listen to anything he says.
Though he did say he talks about death all the time on this podcast,
yeah,
which is a little sad.
That is a little sad.
He should slow that down. Tony was like, why?
Yeah, he's like,
why are you thinking like, about death?
They are actually pretty similar in age, the two of them.
Is that right?
I think...
well, then Bert's way closer to death, I would say. So.
Yeah, based on health, I would agree with that.
That,
yeah.
That he has his concerns.
Yeah. Did you see the... there was another podcast where they... same Two Bears, One Cave. I can't remember the episode number, but they had Huberman on it. And it was just Tom. It wasn't Bert. And Tom asks him about alcohol consumption. And then he plays what he said to Huberman, what he says in response to Bert later in an episode. And Bert's just like not having it at all. It's the funniest thing ever.
Well, I mean, Huberman has a strong take on it. He's like zero.
Yeah.
All the science shows zero. Don't do it. That's it.
I know.
There's no one person that you could persuade, like you, to have a harder time persuading than Bert to quit drinking.
Good luck with that.
Did you ever see when Bert went on Barstools and he did that interview with that really awkward guy? He asked like kind of painful questions that are really awkward. No. I can't remember the setup, but anyway, he basically asked Bert about alcohol, and Bert just gives this like super inspirational.
Oh, I did see. I saw that this morning, actually. That was hilarious.
It's genius.
I want to say that was one of the first videos that I woke up to this morning, and I was just like, do I need to go get a beer right now?
Is
like,
it time to...
Wow.
We can wait for the podcast. Get going then. But...
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, Bert has his reasons for it. It's just what makes this guy who he is. I mean, not to say that if he quit drinking, he wouldn't be awesome and Bert. I'm sure there's a way that he could figure it out. But he's known as the machine.
He's fine, yeah.
He has to live up to this thing.
Yeah.
Did they were talking about renting out that like surf place.
Oh, right? Yeah, in Waco. Yeah, that was one of those indoor surf things like you were talking about earlier.
There we go.
Yeah. Those are crazy. I don't know if you've seen videos of those, but those are huge, huge facilities.
I've heard some clips about it. Okay, so I guess Tony knows how to surf. That would make sense.
I can
Bert,
see that, yeah.
I guess.
Bert probably thinks he knows how to surf.
Definitely, yeah. He thinks he's basically a professional athlete.
Yeah, he was like, I make sure I always have a trainer, though. He's like, I don't do it unless it's a private lesson. <It's> like,
And Tom is learning, so they're going to go this thing out. They said it was like $50,000 a day.
That's insane.
That's a lot.
That's crazy. But yeah. I mean, I don't know if you set it up with some event, get some sponsors, whatever it is.
They could probably get it for free.
You could figure it out.
And also, I'm pretty sure Tom and Bert are flying private jets these days. So
they're doing all right.
I don't know what they're getting paid for their stand up, but it's a lot.
It's probably a lot.
They're definitely
at least right now, they're probably like two of the biggest names in comedy, I'd say.
Yeah, I would say so too.
Yeah.
They've really blown up over COVID.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I know myself, I've watched so much of their stuff over COVID.
Well, they lent into the podcast hard, which was a smart move because those two together are brilliant.
Yeah, and then Tom also has another show with his wife. I can't remember what the name of that one is, but it's just with the two of them.
Your Mama's House.
Your Mama's House, yeah.
And it's a way different show.
Yeah.
It's still very funny, but it is super shocking.
Yeah, I've listened to a couple of them.
They have some wild guests on, too. They don't care. They had Tommy Lee on one time.
They had Andrew Tate, actually.
Andrew Tate, there we go. That was probably the closest he's ever going to get to being on Rogan.
That was a good one, though. That one was hilarious.
I think his wife did a good job of asking Andrew questions. Like, you probably just think I'm an idiot, and I don't know. I thought Andrew handled all those quite well.
He gave a real breakdown for it.
Yeah. Well, those guys do on Your Mama's House, they do this like live streaming thing where you can buy tickets online and they get guests in. Last time they had Rogan, and it's a whole different setup. So you watch it, I think, live as it's happening, or you buy like a window of time where, and it's completely unregulated.
Oh, that's cool.
Like they are watching some of the most disturbing shit you can imagine and just commenting through it and talking. I've never tuned into one of them, but I'm curious to see.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds fun.
Yeah. Tom's hard to cancel, I think.
I guess so is Louis C.K.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. His indiscretion was just odd, though.
It was, yeah.
Was the win for him. It was just odd. That's all. Yeah, I think if they did one, I'd love to see Tony Hawk on Rogan. Like,
that would be
there.
Cool. Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't done that already.
Me too. And after hearing him on Bert, I mean, Bert's a different interviewer, right? And so this was like looser and fun. But yeah. Bert has got better. Like he gets into things, but he's a silly goose.
He is.
So
Joe asks like questions. Joe's like curious.
Yeah. He wants to get to the meat, but he also has like specific focuses sometimes where he wants to know where your struggles were.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what made you who you were. It's like he's always trying to figure out how to get to like what makes an outlier. And I think that's a lot of how he positions his podcast. So I think with Tony, there's more good information to come that I want to hear.
He's a great person to listen to. I'm a big fan of him. He actually has been on Rogan. I was gonna say, I thought I listened to that episode. Yeah, it's he was on back in 2020. That's a really good episode.
Oh,
actually.
Tony, I should know.
Yeah,
this.
On Rogan, it's episode 1477.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And he does. I was like, when you said going in on deeper questions, I was like, I feel like I've heard a conversation like that, but it was that one. Yeah, because he asked him about like growing up. And he kind of like gives him his whole story and everything. It's a really good episode, actually.
Oh, nice. And then Tony has his own podcast, too.
He does,
right?
Too. Yes, he has his own podcast. I wish I knew what it was called, but I believe he started it recently, actually.
Yeah.
That's probably a good one.
I think I wrote it down. Oh, Hawk versus Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Hawk versus Wolf.
Yeah, I think he does it with one of his other, I want to say, skating buddies. I don't know.
So he's not obviously competing now. He's older. He's not like doing those things. Is he just like a big advocate for the sport? Shows up to the events?
Yeah,
kind of pushes.
I think so. He's also a dad now. He has kids. So he's very much in that life of things. But yeah, I think he's just like a kind of one of those like voices of the sport, you know, where you, like you ask him what he thinks about future stuff and everything like that. I have to say the Olympic skateboarding was very interesting to watch. That was one of the few ones that I was like, I'm actually going to go watch this because I thought it was really interesting. And I was curious how they did the format of it. But, dude, this past Olympics, when they added it, and I guess it would have been 2020, but I don't remember what year they did it in. What was supposed to be 2020, the first year with skateboarding, there was this kid, this 14-year-old girl from, I can't remember where she was from, but not the U.S. She was from a different country, and she was unreal. 14 years old and just demolished everybody in skateboarding at the Olympics.
You can be in the Olympics at 14?
I guess so.
Huh.
But yeah, she obliterated everyone. I don't know. I want to say that different sports have different age requirements, but that might not be true. I don't know how that works. But I was shocked. I was like 14 years old. I was still playing with Legos.
Yeah. Or to think of mastering something at 14 is,
oh my God,
very unusual.
And she was unreal. It was absolutely amazing.
Do you know what sports they added to the last Olympics?
I believe they added surfing, rock climbing, skateboarding, and there might have been a couple other ones.
Do they have to take some out in order to do that?
No, I don't think so.
They just keep adding to it?
I mean, I believe so, yeah. There's some weird ones that I didn't even know. Like, they have, like, Olympic shooting, and there's, like, some weird, like, Western-style sports that they have in the Olympics now.
What do you mean? Like, with a horse?
Yeah, there's some equestrian ones. Yeah, there definitely is. And then there's some weird ones that you're like, I don't know if that's – do people still do that? Like – I don't know. It's in the Olympics, but...
Was Tony Hawk doing any of the commentary for the American side? He must have been.
Sure.
I can't imagine who else you would have.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he does. I think he does that, though. Yeah, I think he does like commentary on different stuff. I think he's still very involved in the skateboarding world, obviously.
Yeah. I gotta watch some of the Olympics. Was the format similar to what they would do in X Games things? Or
it's
did
actually,
they have their own
yeah, it's pretty similar. It's actually really similar to the I wanna say snowboarding, not the pipe stuff, but the like park stuff. It's just like freestyle. They have like a course set up. There's like different rails and steps and all kinds of stuff. And then you get like a run. And then there's like qualifying and finals and everything. And it's based on your performance of like how difficult of a trick, how well you performed it, different stuff like that.
Raise your hand if you want your nails to look perfect all the time. Me too. I'm Sarah Gibson Tuttle from Olive & June. And this is exactly why we created the Manny System. We wanted to make it possible for everyone everywhere to give themselves a beautiful manicure at home. With our tools and our long-lasting polish, each manicure with our Manny system comes out to just $2. That's right, $2. No more $30, $40, $50 manis that you get at a salon and they take hours. Now you can paint your nails on your time and love them more than ever. And by the way, when people ask, who did your nails? Where did you get them done? You're going to proudly say, I did them myself. Get 20% off your first Manny system with code DIYNAIL20 at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20. That's code DIYNAIL20 for 20% off at oliveandjune.com/DIYNAIL20.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I got one here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
I guess what's nice about it in a way is you could imagine some sports getting to the Olympics really before kind of maybe they develop their that maybe the refereeing side or the judging side before enough people like really know how to format the event, like if it's a newer styled event. So you could imagine some of the judging is a bit awkward. And I give that example because the UFC, for example, was when it started to get big. I mean, it was kind of like underground and known as like dirty cage fighting, you know, just was like looked down on really until kind of early 2000s. And it had been around for almost 10 years then. So if you ever were like, oh, yeah, I'm into cage fighting, like it just was, you might as well say bare knuckle boxing in the backyard or something. Yeah. It was like just boxing itself was seen as, you know, so much classier. And then there's this other thing. So the commissions often wouldn't let it into certain states. There was a lot of pushback against it. They always referenced the violence, but it was like, hold on, we're doing that. Boxing happens everywhere, and it's on TV. So then the commissions that would allow it would only license boxing judges to be the judges for UFC. And it kind of was that way for a long time. I mean, they still have problems with the judging in the UFC because of the way the commissions works. And Joe Rogan, who is the commentator for the UFC once, was telling a story about how one of the judges, like, I think leant over to him and asked him what a triangle choke was or what was, like, going on in the middle of the fight because she was a licensed boxing judge. She'd like trained for that, but the commission only had them. So like the Nevada commission or the wherever, the Colorado commission.
That's so stupid.
And they didn't have like specific, you know, MMA trained judges. Like they have referees like that, but they didn't have it the other way around. So you could imagine how many bad calls there was and point discrepancies. And there's just been, you know, some crazy results because of that. Yet with skateboarding, if it had been picked up way back in the day by the Olympics before maybe the X Games had had all this time to develop these competitions and really, you know, point score them all out, it could be could get funky in there.
Yeah, I think that the one of the benefits that they had is that before it was in the Olympics, it was already like an internationally recognized and internationally competed on sport. So they already had these giant international competitions of skateboarding before that. I don't know the names of them, but they definitely did. And so they just use the judges from them. It's same thing with like rock climbing. They've had professional rock climbing forever. And I assume there's some kind of judging that goes into that. So I assume that they just take industry experts and plug them into that.
You'd hope so.
I would hope so. But I do know that the Olympic Committee is not perfect. And I'm sure that in some ways it was probably not the smoothest of transitions. But
takes time.
It takes time.
But it's cool that we're getting these things
in there. Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it'll be long before, who knows, that drone piloting thing where they like fly them around the mall really fast will be like
POV
in there,
droning.
Just something nuts like that, or maybe even video game play.
I don't know.
I mean, dude, they sell out stadiums in, I think,
e-sports?
In Asia
and
for video
huge.
Games.
It's
like
crazy.
It's ginormous. And all I'm saying is if there's money there and it's popular and it'll get views, it's like this is how these big organizations lead.
Yeah.
It's like it makes sense, right? If nobody's watching the fucking curling, then of course they want ratings. They're going to go to things that within reason are going to be popular.
That's true. Yeah, I think esports will probably have to catch up a little bit on mainstream media. It's kind of just like a niche video gaming thing. Like
no
it's
doubt.
Not it's not popular that much outside of video gaming. But
yeah.
They'll get there. I don't know. I think the Olympics in that case will probably come to some moral dilemma of like at what point is it a sport, you know? So we'll have to decide that, but
yeah, that
we'll
kind
see.
Of that kind of gets the robo sports.
Robo sports.
That's
I know
next.
I still I don't know whose idea it was, but I love the idea of let's just say fuck it and make a new category of competing internationally where you can just do as many steroids as you want. So long as it's not like combat, like you know, two dudes fighting or whatever, but if you like fuck it,
how fast can a human run? Like, let's figure this out.
While carrying a car.
Yeah, like, we should just have a separate event for all the crazy people who want to do roids. And
I like it. If they're doing it anyway, just throw them in there.
I would watch that. Sign a waiver. I would watch that way more than the regular Olympics. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah. You could bring back, like, Gladiator and stuff.
Well, that's going to be it for this week. So if you like the sound of this episode with Tony Hawk on Two Bears, One Cave, episode 170, check it out. There'll be a link in the bio. We appreciate you guys listening. Thanks to the sponsors. And thank you, Sean.
We will see you next week.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.